So, Lieutenant Commander, first of all, congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Tell us your story. How did you become a Blue Angel?
So I actually enlisted back in 2007. I was actually standing in Marcos's shoes here. Marcos is my crew chief on the Forja. He's my 4 Bravo crew chief. We're actually flying together today for his reenlistment. So I'm very, very excited, looking forward to that. But I was in his shoes, and then I picked up a commissioning opportunity and commissioned, went back to college, and then ultimately picked up a pilot spot. Went through a junior officer tour, did a deployment, and then I instructed in the F-18, ultimately put a package in to apply to the Blue Angels and found myself here.
Is it kind of unusual for Mustang to be a pilot for the Blues? I mean, it's a great story.
There's been a handful of Mustangs, so I'm not the first Mustang on the flying in the Delta. But yeah, it's an incredible opportunity, and overall, the Navy in general has so many great opportunities, and I think that's what I love about it.
How has life changed since the movie came out?
Honestly, it feels really normal. We are a squadron by definition, the Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron, so it feels like just any fleet squadron, being a part of a team, and the most incredible team in the world, I have to add.
Boss says that he had to take a little getting used to getting recognized in his civvies. Did you have that?
Once the Amazon movie came out, for sure, I was recognized in civilian clothes, which is unusual. Usually just with the blue flight suit, people will recognize me, but that certainly takes a little bit of getting used to.
How about the level of attention that you've gotten as being the first female jet pilot? Did that surprise you? Were you prepared for it?
The public affairs team does an incredible job with our media. They did a really great job of allowing me to learn my job last year and kind of sheltering me, so to speak, just so I could pay attention to the safety and putting on the best flight demonstration. Stepping outside of that this year, it's been really great to talk to all the media personnel and kind of tell my story. And ultimately, it doesn't feel like so much attention on me. Just kind of focus on the people in front of you. Give people the best attention that you can and try to continue to inspire people.
How's it been moving from the wing to the slot? That's a pretty big responsibility.
I think everybody that has moved into the slot position has always said it's the best view in the house. You get to look forward, you get to look around, and you also get to swing fly. So I've had the opportunity to fly in every single position, minus boss's position, in the flight demonstration, and it's an incredible challenge. It's an incredible honor, and I'm loving it.
Do you ever regret not being a solo?
I do not. Diamonds are forever. Everything happens for a reason.
I was going to say, just obviously a lot of excitement about the air show on our end and the whole community. What does that feel like for you guys coming back to Pensacola for the show?
Pensacola Beach Week is iconic. It really marks halfway through our season. It's also the week where we select next year's team. So for us, it's a busy week and something that it is very iconic and markedly an important part of our season and for the community. We love going down to the beach and flying over the water. It's beautiful. It's great flying. The air is always smooth. And there are thousands and thousands of people out there that I go look at and kind of wave to and say hi. So it's awesome and it's an honor.
What's your favorite part of being able to come back to Pensacola Beach, fly over? Of course, everybody was excited to see you guys yesterday for Breakfast with the Blues. What's been your favorite part?
I love being able to see Pensacola from a different view. It's kind of a different, the Pensacola community really supports us and the Blue Angels here in the local community, and it's really great to be able to get down to Pensacola Beach. Obviously, we practice Tuesday through Wednesday usually during the season, then we have end of season show here at NAS Pensacola, and it's really great to be able to pick up and move a couple miles down the road and be able to perform for the folks of the community that have given us so much.
Do you have family here in town?
I do not.
Okay. And I was kind of curious, I was reading some of your bio. You were an athlete in high school, and of course, this is a very physically demanding activity. What's the level of conditioning like from being an athlete, then in multiple sports, and you know, being a Blue Angels pilot for the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think it certainly helps with the level of dedication, the reps and sets that you kind of see in most sports. But overall, it's just the teamwork and being a part of a team that you will see being in sports or anything that requires teamwork. This is a little bit next level. I kind of associate this with pro athlete type teamwork and type of a team and how we operate. We're very close knit. We're a big family, and we couldn't do our job without every single person on this team.
I think for some people, they think of you as kind of a symbol, you know, being the first female jet pilot. Is that a role you like? Does it surprise you? How do you feel about that, if you have any feeling about it?
Well, when I talk to people at Crowdland, I always tell them, look, we're just normal people, but it is not lost on me what it's like to see somebody that looks like you in a position that maybe you never thought a possibility. So it is an honor to be able to represent and be an inspiration to so many people.
Do you ever get tired of being asked about that? Because I got to assume every single interview that you've done, people have asked you about that.
No, absolutely not. It's awesome.
You mentioned flying pretty much in every spot except bosses. You know, what is the most challenging part about it?
Right side. So the 2 and the 6 spot, they fly over on the right side, and that is something that I just am not very comfortable with. I'm obviously left wing is my baby. That's what I did all last year, so I'm comfortable over on the left side, and that's my biggest challenge. If somebody over on the right side falls out, I just kind of, well, here we go, and do the best you can to put on the best flight demonstration you can.
In the movie, one of the possible commanders was a female pilot. How much longer do you think it'll take before the boss is a female, and what would that mean to you?
Well, there's not a lot of females in the F-18 strike fighter community, so it would be incredible to see some more females come through, but ultimately the team does a really great job of hiring the right person for the job. It sometimes just takes the interest to say, hey, that's something I want to do, and for that specific person, it just requires that initiative to apply to the team, because anything's possible.
Call sign Stalin. Story?
Yeah, we'll have to get it to sit down over a beer, for a drink.
Perfectly acceptable. I understand. No worries. Do you have you started thinking at all about how, as much work as it is and how fast it's been, that it's almost over? I mean, you've got just a couple of months left, and then it'll be homecoming show, and it'll be off to your. Are you retiring, or are you moving on and up?
Nope, I'm going on to a department head tour. I'm actually going back up to Oceania.
Okay.
For another fleet tour and probably multiple deployments. I may or may not retire after that. I will be at 20 after that, so we'll kind of reevaluate and do one tour at a time.
And as far as thinking about how, you know, this is sort of on its way to coming towards a close, thought, feelings about that?
You know, asking me that today, I'd be incredibly sad to leave the team tomorrow. I think I will certainly feel that way at end of season. It's a bittersweet kind of ending. It's been an incredible tour for anybody that's here, and it goes by in the blink of an eye. And everybody tells you when you join the team, hey, enjoy it while it's here, because it's going to be over so, so quick. And I knew that going into it. I knew this was going to be incredible, but it has gone by too fast. And you just got to kind of step back and stop looking through the soda straw and appreciate what you have and the team that you work with, the family that you've built.
When you go back to your squadron, or if you've worked with a Blue Angel in the past when you were not a Blue Angel, is there any, like, how does that go? Like, is there Blue Angel, having a Blue Angel in your squadron, like, oh, the bumps up the level of work ethic, or how does it make a difference?
Yeah, so you'll hear our narrator say in our flight demonstration that we execute the same tactics that we do in the fleet. So ultimately, going back to the fleet, I'm just kind of getting back into the tactics. We're doing what we do, but at very low altitudes and high air speeds down here. A little bit of refresh and study on my part to make myself another appropriate member of a team. I'm a little bit behind on the education piece because things changed quite a bit, especially since I've been gone. So I think it's just going to be me stepping up to be a part of that different team once I step out of this team.
What's been the demands of the season so far, and how are you guys handling them?
Yeah, I think the most demanding part is not the flying and not the people, but the traveling can always take a toll on your body. You'll always hear that we're on the road more than 300 days a year, and that is for sure demanding physically and mentally on the body. So it's just kind of up to each individual to kind of take a step back and do what you need to do to recover and recoup from the demanding travel schedule.
What do you tell a daughter? What do you tell somebody who's looking at the sky right now and looks at you and goes, I can do that too? What do you tell a young woman who's like, I want to be her?
Yeah, just for everybody in general who has a passion to fly, or even just comes out and sees a flight demonstration and inspires them to maybe want to go fly. I'll really tell anybody to step outside your comfort zone, do things that scare you, because you'll always be surprised at what you can do.
What have you found the most challenging about being on the team? Anything?
Double Farvel. Yeah, the Double Farvel is always challenging. It's one that I will continue to try to perfect until my last flight on the team, but it's one of the most fun maneuvers for me to fly this year.
We learned a lot about you and really the whole team in the recent IMAX documentary. Where are you at in the diamond formation right now?
Right now we are in blue gold.
And how does that feel for you?
It's incredible. It's definitely a different perspective in this poor spot because we are the safety observer, making sure that everything's going well back there. The team overall is doing incredible in our progression this year. And I look forward to continue to take it in as the season progresses.
I'm good. Thank you so much.
Have you always been a trailblazer? Like, have you had an attitude to life? I'm just going to do what nobody has done before. Or did this just sort of evolve and you look back and go, oh, I guess I'm in this role that maybe I didn't cast myself in?
Not necessarily a trailblazer, but I will look at something like, I want to try that, and then I go try it. So aviation wasn't inherently something in my path. If you were to ask me when I was a kid that if I wanted to be flying when I was older, I would say no. I wanted to do something in the medical field. If you would have asked me even a couple years ago, hey, you're going to be a Blue Angel flying, I'd be like, you're crazy. But it's just something that you see and you find a passion for, and you say, I want to try that, and kind of, like I said, step outside your comfort zone and challenge yourself.
You said after your next thing you're going to reevaluate, but when I say Commander Lee, when I say Captain Lee, when I say Admiral Lee, where do you get excited and where do you start to get like, oh, man, no?
I would say never say never. Maybe there could be the first true seaman to admiral. That's the commissioning program I went to. I came in as an E1, and potentially you never know. You never know.
That was a really good analogy.
Is it always like this? I mean, it's, you know.
Like I said, I try to give my best attention to the people right in front of me. I think sometimes it can get a little overwhelming to take a peek overhead. So I just do my best to give people the best attention I can who are right in front of me.
Well, you definitely have for us. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.